Today we're coming from James, the book of James. Just as a reference, it's near the end of the Bible. The book of James. An epistle of James. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
James. And there's just two verses I'd like to read from the first chapter of James. And that's verse 26 and 27.
Amen.
Which reads, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. The topic today is practicing pure religion.
Amen.
Practicing pure religion. Just to look at this epistle from James, which is attributed to James, the brother of Jesus, and so many scholarly circles. And it is a letter, as it says in the very first verse, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Mm-hmm. He is writing to those of the Hebrew origin who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Uh-huh. He is writing to those who have been dispersed because of persecution. He is writing to those who have accepted Christ, where Christ is not the norm of the day.
Right.
He is writing to encourage them to hold fast to all that they have learned about Christ in spite of the trials and tribulations that are surrounding them.
Mm-hmm.
So he is writing this letter to us. Uh-huh. Amen.
Right.
This is a letter to us.
Amen.
And in this very first chapter, he talks about the trials that make us patient, the trials that we must go through. As Christians, we will have trials.
Right.
We are not immune
Hallelujah.
To trials, but trials are there to make us stronger.
Amen.
And then he moves on to being hearers and doers of the word in the next section. If we're going to be Christians, let us be doers of the word. It is one thing to sit under the teachings. It is one thing to absorb, but are we actually putting that into practice? He is asking us, he is challenging us to put what we learned, to put our faith into practice. And in the 26th verse, He talks about us by saying, if any man among you seems to be religious, seems to be religious. Now, when they're talking about seeming to be religious, is the ones who can observe all the religious ordinances, those who can participate in religious activities, those who appear to be saintly. And he was talking to an audience that they were challenged as new Christians. They were challenged to be true to their faith. They were challenged because they had one foot in the faith and one foot in the world. They were challenged to bring some of their baggage with them into this new world with Christ. If any man among you seem to be religious, seem to be religious, having the appearance of somebody who is religious, but that is all, it is just an appearance. You know, we can make ourselves into whatever we want to. But can we be our true selves and still be faithful? Do we have to change who we are to be a child of God?
Amen. Amen.
Do we seem to be religious, or are we actually religious? Do we have a relationship with Jesus?
Tell it.
Or do we have an acquaintance with Jesus? Are we practicing our faith? Or are we just going through the motions? We can memorize the scripture. We can recall interesting facts from the Word of God. We can appear to be religious, but our lives are far from it. So what this is, a warning to those who seem to be religious. For those who seem to be religious, there are always some telltale signs that you are not what you try to be. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. It's putting a connection here between what we say we are and what we do.
That's right.
What we say we are and what we do. If we are people of faith, if we are people seeking the mind and heart of Christ, but if we can't control our tongue. Now let's look at that word bridle. That means to muzzle.
That's right.
It's the illustration of the mighty beast that you control by controlling the mouth.
That's right.
They put harnesses and bits in horses' mouths.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when they pull in this direction to the left, the horse is trained to go to the left.
That's right.
Because you got his mouth tied up.
Mm-hmm.
And you could lead him anywhere. Mm-hmm. If you pull to the right, it will go to the right.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Growing up, my grandparents had a farm and they had two mules. Now, mules are a little bit different than horses.
Yep.
They're a little more stubborn than horses. You got to really work with a mule, a mighty beast of burden, to make it do what you want it to do. And every now and then, my cousin and I would get a chance to ride them after the workday was over. And you would have thought we were Roy Rogers and the Lone Ranger. Didn't have a saddle, but we had the bridle in the mouth. Therefore, most of the time, it went where we wanted it to go. Now, mind you, we were young, we were small, and we did not have the strength to force it.
Right.
Like our parents did, like my grandparents did. But the illustration is still the same. The bridle, is the purpose of it is to muzzle, is to control it.
Amen.
So if you look at it in context, what he's saying is, if any man among you seems to be religious, and does not control his tongue, does not muzzle his tongue. I know a person who in my heart I believe is really a good person, but they don't know how to bridle their tongue. They say whatever comes out comes to their mind. And I've come to conclude that they say what the rest of us think to ourselves.
Yeah.
And it gets them into trouble because it just comes out. And they have to apologize later. But words do hurt.
Amen.
Words can cause confusion.
That's right.
And if you say you are a person of God, but you are always critical of other people and what they are doing, then what does that say about your faith? What does that say about your relationship? If you say that you are a person of God, if you appear to be religious, but words of destruction and hurt and confusion come out of your mouth, what does that say about your relationship with Jesus Christ?
Amen.
God is not the author of confusion.
That's right.
So why should confusion come out of our mouths? You confuse us just like we confuse children when we tell them to do one thing, but we're doing the opposite. We appear to be doing the right thing, but they see what we're really doing. Who seem to be religious and bridled not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. If you are like that, you are contradicting yourself, you are a hypocrite, and you are only fooling yourself. That's what it's saying.
Amen.
Your religion is useless if it is not backed up by action. You know, the religious activities we participate in, the rituals we participate in are one thing, but God is not satisfied only with that. He is interested in a life of godliness. And that's what he wants us to have. So if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, some translations that vain means useless. This man's religion is useless. This talks about the tongue, but it also talks about any behavior that is inconsistent with our Christian faith.
That's right.
Psalm 39, verse 1 says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I will keep my mouth in a bridle. And this is somebody saying that I don't want to sin with my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to cause anybody else to sin with my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I will bridle my tongue. Mighty is the person who knows how to bridle their tongue. Who knows how to muzzle their tongue. Who knows when to speak up, but also knows when to shut up. Controlled speech is a part of pure religion.
That's right.
The emphasis here is on godly and right living. Now remember the audience that James is talking to. James is talking to those who have accepted Christ, those who are of Hebrew origin, those who are being challenged about their Christianity. He is encouraging them to follow Christ and not follow others, because when we follow others, we will follow the patterns of others. And where there are bad patterns, where there are bad activities, we can get confused, especially new Christians that think that's what Christianity is all about. We have too many bad role models in the church today. But then he goes on in James in verse 27. Pure religion.
Mm-hmm.
So this is different from seeming to be religious.
That's right.
Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this.
Mm-hmm.
To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Mm-hmm. Two things James is pointing out that they need to focus on. If you focus on this, you won't have time for other stuff.
That's right.
He is telling them, number one, to look after the orphans. Uh-huh. Look after the widows. Mm-hmm. He is telling them to keep good conduct. That's to right. be a good citizen. To be a good citizen for the Lord. But I look at this and I just want to elaborate on this thought of pure religion for a few minutes by sharing a few points with you. Number one, pure religion is a practicing religion.
That's right.
Pure religion is a practicing religion. It's not just saying who we are and what we believe, but it's actually doing what we believe.
Amen.
We must be doers of the word.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And James has illustrated that early in this very same chapter in verse 22. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be hearers of the word and not doers, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway, that means immediately, forgets what manner of man he was. Think about it. He that is a hearer and not a doer is like somebody who can look at themselves in the mirror, and as soon as they leave the mirror, forget what they look like. Forget what they look like. Mm-hmm. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Yes.
So it's a practical, a practicing religion. Being doers of the word. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. We all know that word, Lord. Every now and then I find myself in conversations with people. I have to ask them to define certain words they use just to make sure we got our definitions from the same dictionary. Amen? Because I will be with people who will talk about the Lord, but their lifestyle is so inconsistent. I just want to know, who do you serve?
Amen.
Can you tell me who you serve?
Amen.
Can you tell me who you call Lord? What does that mean to you? And every now and then I will find somebody and I find out that they've gotten their theology so twisted. They don't know which way they are going. We must be a practicing religion.
That's right.
Yes.
Practicing religious. Doers of the word. Visiting the fatherless and the widows. Doing what the Lord says. Luke 6:46. I want to elaborate a little bit more on that. Jesus says, and why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like the man who built a house and digged a deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and does not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You see, the one who hears and does is like the one who understands that this, you're in it for the long haul. Your Christianity is not something, or your religion is not something you put on Sunday morning and lay it down on Sunday afternoon. It's a lifestyle change. It's digging deeper than surface level. We all can appear the part. We all can put our suits on, our Sunday finest on, but that does not make the manner of person that you are. It's what's on the underneath core of that. Because every now and then you're going to have to take that suit off. You're going to have to take that tie off. You're going to have to take that shirt off. You're going to have to roll your sleeves up and get to work for the Lord. I get so tickled sometimes when I see there's a stereotype of how preachers should look, of how preachers should dress, what kind of cars preachers should drive. y'all know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
I think I must have broke the mold. Amen. But it's not what you wear.
Thank you. Come on.
It's not having the 5-pound Bible in your hand.
Come on, Pastor. Come on, Pastor.
But what are you doing?
Yes.
Come on.
It's not about you. But it's about what you can do.
That's right.
For Jesus.
Yes.
It's a practicing religion. Pure religion. Not only that, it's a practical religion.
That's right.
It's a practical religion. Think about it is, we know who needs help. Our religion is not based on just appearing at church at 9:30 on Sunday morning.
That's right.
But it's working through our faith.
That's right.
Amen. James 2, starting at the 14th verse. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man says he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I'm so glad that we at Beacon Light, we participate and help to seek out areas that we can fulfill needs. Our relationship with organizations like Urban Ministries and Durham Rescue Mission and others, just playing our part. Now think about it, is we can't do it all, but we can do what we can do.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
We can do what we can do. When we see that somebody has a need within our church, we've been able to fulfill that need or participate in fulfilling that need. That is pure religion. To help those that are without, to put faith into action and do. So as we look at that, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, that first part, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, is to visit those who are afflicted, those who cannot support themselves, those who cannot help themselves, those who need to be lifted up. But not only that, the second part relates to ourselves. It's a personal religion. Pure religion is personal.
Amen.
Keep ourselves. It doesn't talk about keeping somebody else unspotted. keep himself unspotted. Now, unspotted means to keep yourself clean.
Come on.
Keep yourself free from controversy. Unspotted. It's the illustration of cleanliness. As a boy, I used to frustrate my mother because I never saw a puddle that I wanted to walk around.
Amen.
And I would, let's just say, the clothes I started out with did not always remain clean. And it's a nature of working that your clothes will get clean. Isn't that why while we're doing manual labor, don't we change our clothes? Get into something more comfortable, something that can be spotted, something that can be dirty. I'm talking about the external. But this is talking about the internal. The internal. Keep oneself unspotted before the world. Are you the type of person that seems to be religious, but pauses for every opportunity? When people are talking about all sorts of things of the world, are you participating in activities that will be unpleasing to God? Are you dirtying yourself by walking through the spiritual puddles in the world? Clean as snow. He washed it white. We all start out pure. But our activities depend on how we end up.
Amen. Amen.
Are we keeping ourselves pure? To keep ourselves pure, we have to stay away from some things. There are some people we have to stay away from. And don't worry, because if you stay away from them long enough, they won't call you anymore. Amen?
That's right.
If you make up your mind not to participate, not to indulge, they won't bother you anymore. They will leave you off of their distribution list. Contact will be much less. Because you are showing that you want to keep yourself unspotted before the world. Because you have demonstrated that you're doing the best you can. It is hard, my brothers and sisters. It is difficult. If it was easy, James would not have had to write about it. James would not have had to encourage them about it.
Amen.
But once we put our mind to doing it, we can avoid it. Once we put our mind towards it, that I'm not going to entertain this spirit in my house. I'm not going to entertain this spirit in my workplace. I'm not going to entertain this spirit in my life. It is much easier once we get used to it. Don't I remember something about the devil has to flee?
Amen.
If we make life uncomfortable for it, unspotted before the world, you know, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. The world wants to spot us, wants to defile us. The world wants to be our friend. In social media, you get friend requests.
Yeah, yeah.
People want to be your friend. People you don't even know want to be your friend. It gives you an opportunity to look into the people. Who is this person and why in the world do I want them to be my friend? James 4:4. Know ye not, where it starts off, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Friendship. Who's your friends? You know, friendship leads to love. So if you are not careful about the friends you cultivate, then you can end up being in a relationship with the wrong spirit. And you can end up conforming to the world. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how we can keep ourselves unspotted. Is by renewing our mind to the mind of Christ. And be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you know, if you're not careful, and if you conform to the world, you might end up finding yourself condemned with the world.
Tell it.
Condemned with the world. Paul warns about this in 1 Corinthians 11:32, where it says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Pure religion is very simple. It's right here. Pure religion and undefiled before God. Undefiled before God. Clean before God. And the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions and keep himself unspotted from the world. It's easier said than done, my brothers and sisters. Just like those stains we used to get on our clothes, some are harder to get out than others, and some can never come out. But I'm so glad that we know the agitating agent that can get out the deepest stain.
Amen.
I am so glad that we know the one who can clean us up cleaner than clean. I am so glad to know that if Tide can't get it, Jesus can. I am so glad to know that the same one who got the stains out of Saul is the same one who can get the stains out of us. I am so glad that the one who cleaned up Saul and all of his mess is the same one who can clean us up. I am so glad that the same one who took the thief on the cross and cleaned him up at the last minute, blotted out all of his transgressions,
yes,
gave him a seat in paradise. I am so glad that the same one who did that is the same one who's acting on our case. Yes. Just like the stains in your clothes. When they look at it, when you take it to the cleaners, and they say, I don't know if I can get this out. What made this stain? What made this stain? Excuse me, my brothers and sisters. Some of us have been stained in our lives, and some of us have maintained unto those stains. We have been focused too much on the stains and not enough on the one who has already gotten rid of the stain, who has blotted out the stains before all mankind, put it in the past. The one who had changed us and cleaned us up. Others may not see it. They didn't see it with Saul. When he came around talking about, my name's Paul now, and I'm a man of God. Some hid from him. Others were discouraged by him. Others were confused by him. Others said, no, 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 this is the one that just ordered our killings. This is the one who sought orders to travel outside of Jerusalem to get these Christians, to kill these Christians. This is the one of them that killed Jesus Christ. Who is he to stand here to say that I am now a changed man? Only through the activities and actions of Jesus Christ can we be made clean so that we can be unspotted to the world and undefiled before God. Jesus. 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 Y'all, it's about time for spring cleaning. Make sure you keep Jesus as the active agent in your life. And remember to practice pure religion. It's not about show, but it's about go. Amen. Not about show, but it's about go. We don't have to demonstrate to somebody we look like a Christian. We don't have to demonstrate to somebody that we say the things that all Christians are supposed to say. But we are to act like Christians, and everything else is a byproduct of that. If we act like Christ, if we take on the mind of Christ and act like Christ, everything else will be all right. We won't have to worry whether or not we are practicing pure religion, because it will be ingrained in us. It will come out of us. Every time we hear about somebody in need, we will feel compassion in our soul and want to reach out and do something, realizing that we can't do everything, but whatever we do collectively, I believe, is what Christ would have us do. Pure religion does not think of oneself first, but thinks about others first, and God will take care of us. Pure religion is about worshiping the Lord. We don't need to focus as much on how many show up, but we need to focus on what's being done by those who do show up. Amen. Focus on what's being done by those who do show up. God bless you. Pure religion. Are we practicing pure religion? If not, I invite you to do a reality check. Quit deceiving yourselves. Commit. Commit to doing what you believe and what you know is right. And practice pure religion. Amen. The doors of the church are open. Thank you.